I'm going to start with a, what is it, 4-minute video. It's just a song, actually just music. It's called The Story of My Life, and I saw it several years ago. I like to use YouTube and find things in it to use in what I'm teaching. I don't preach as such as much as I teach as such. And so, and I think I like pictures a lot because I don't visualize things at all. I can't. So I use pictures a lot. So there'll be some pictures of things that are part of my life. I'm going to use my life as kind of the core to what I'm doing. But I just want you to watch what this story is. It's a story with music. And we'll just start with that. And then we'll do something else. I hope it. And I don't.
Need it louder?
Yeah, it doesn't keep. It doesn't have a lot of volume.
Thank you.
That was cool.
That was awesome. That's very powerful.
Hey, what was the name of that video?
Story of My Life.
That was the name of your talk.
Well, yeah, it is what I'm doing, but this is what inspired me several years ago when I found it.
Super powerful.
And I used it with my middle schoolers in Sunday school. I started with them, then I used it with my life group, and it grew. And what you're going to see and hear today is a little bit bigger than what I've done in the past. It keeps growing. Anyway.
Yay!
I brought this on purpose. This is not by accident, and it's not because I am goofy, although I am. But when I used to teach at Burroughs, it was difficult sometimes to engage students. And sometimes when I teach in churches, it can be difficult to engage people,
right?
Especially if I'm new. But what I used to do in my classes, I would go in and I'd put something up, maybe in a light. And I'd wait for the students
somebody
to see
find it.
They would find it. And then I would move it sometimes. And they'd say, "Mr. Garcia, where is it?" I said, "It's still here." And they'd find it again. Then I would add something to the room. And sometimes I'd get up to 18 or 19 items floating around. And one year I had a group of students that weren't in my classes, but they had me. And they said, "Can we help you do that with your kid?" And they would bring me things to share, and they would set it up for me.
Video.
Yeah. And they would do everything for me, and then they would move it around every couple of weeks. We'd move everything all, and it would keep my kids would come in looking for stuff, and then we'd talk about that, and then we get into lesson. But they were engaged from the beginning, and I'd had dinosaurs and monkeys and stuff. So I brought this just because what I'm doing may be different than what you're used to seeing, but this was different and it engages people. And so
good.
But little guys love my stuff.
Yeah.
And I had this little troll that I was going to bring. I said, "No, I'd rather not bring my troll." Although I have this pink haired troll that I'd use. I have lots of things. I taught history and I have historical things. I have antiques. And I thought I'd bring you some of those. But I thought this was easy. So we have that. And also, good morning. I don't have sound effects because Apple doesn't have sound effects for their PowerPoint yet. But anyway, but they do have interesting motions and things. So I would... I think what I have is a quote first, because what this music kind of did for me is that I tend to not pay attention to myself, and I kind of ignore my past and just move on to the future, the present through. And this started me, but especially the last couple of years, I've paid a lot of attention and thought about what has God done to make me who I am. And so this story of my life is important because I'm going to share me, but you have a story.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jesus told stories. I would need that.
Okay.
It'll come out in my voice, but it's fine. I don't mind dripping stuff. That's a new that's a new addition to my life.
There you go. There you go.
I could teach this 20 years ago, calmly, perfect. It's more fun now because I'm more engaged in what I'm teaching.
Yes. Yeah.
But you need to see that you have a story. So as you see my story, I hope you think about your story. So. The story of my life. Am I paying attention? Are we paying attention? What are you doing? From day to day, what do we really do? And so I start with this quote. Oh, no, I start with this. Paying attention to my life. I found this online. I said, oh, I've got to get it because it deals with a lot of the stuff around the edge is based on pride, and I have a big problem with that. Mm-hmm. And so Garcia, the man, the myth, the legend is kind of funny, but and I like it. It's a really soft blanket. Becky really loves it. She uses it every once in a while. A lot recently when it got colder, she wrapped it. So it's big enough. It's huge.
That's
it
awesome.
Covers a queen-size bed.
Wow.
But it has things, you know, and on the eighth day, God created Garcia, and the devil stood at attention.
Come on!
And it's a funny, but at the same time, there was a creation of you, and the devil took note.
Right.
You were born again, and when you were born again, the devil took note. Until then, he didn't have to pay attention. But he took note. And so...
Wow.
There are things that are humorous on that, but really, when I look at it, it reminds me of stuff. So think in terms of, you know, Danny, the man, myth, legend.
Come on.
What are the things that make you?
So good.
And this is actually how it came out. I saw it was already made Garcia. It was done. So I just ordered the Garcia one they had.
What?
That's the advertisement that I saw, so I bought it.
That is awesome.
It was made for me.
Yes.
God knew I was coming. And I think, you know, when I'm searching, you know, the people in my life group will sometimes ask me, how do you find these things? How do you know what to pick? And I said, God just shows me because I'm going through and I have this idea that God has put in my head and I'm searching. And I don't care if it's Christian or not, if I find it. I'm looking for what will make you think, what will touch your heart. This, everything here touches me.
Yeah.
Here you go. It says, men go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motions of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering.
Right.
St. Augustine.
That's beautiful.
You know, early Christian bishop. Mm-hmm. Born in North Africa. But he wrote a lot, and I like this. I found this on one of my searches for just stuff. And I wasn't looking for this. I was looking for something else. But I said, this fits what I'm doing. So I put it here too. But we don't pay attention to ourselves, and that's what he says. We look at everything, and we get amazed by everything, but do we pay attention? We have been made by God. So, paying attention to myself. Ta-da!
Is that you?
A very darling little boy. That is me. And that is also my great-grandfather and my grandmother in 1958. I was 5 years old. I'm wearing my favorite shirt in that picture. It was blue with a black inset because it's a cowboy shirt. I had a black hat for that, which is why one of the things that struck me about the video, you know, the story of my life, the little boy wears a hat. And when he becomes a man, he still wears a hat.
That's awesome.
If my mother was alive and could talk to you, she would say that when I was little, I loved hats. And now, I love hats. I have one here. And I have, and eventually through this, you're going to see a part of my collection of hats. So, but this is part of who I am. This is where I started. When in this picture, I was 5 years old, I don't speak English. I only speak Spanish. I was in kindergarten in 1958.
Where did you live?
This was in a town called Millbrae, it's south of San Francisco.
Okay.
It's right by the San Francisco airport.
Wow.
So my great-grandfather was in a nursing home, and we would visit him every so often, and my dad would shave him and cut his hair and stuff. And that's her father. They immigrated to the country in the early 1900s, I have their travel trunk in my house.
Wow.
I had it refurbished, and it's there, and it's what, 110 years old?
Something like that. Wow, it's amazing.
How about that?
Because my grandmother came when she was 11, in 1921, I think, or 22. So that's when she got there. But the trunk was way before that because of traveling. So that's part of my life and who I am. But it's also, you know, the Apostle Paul remembered who he was. He knew who he was, but he didn't count it very important. So if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. He was a killer. And but God reached down and got him.
Yeah.
As to zeal, as to righteousness under the law, blameless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who he was. But that's not who he is.
Mm.
Past tense. It's
good
who he
word,
was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, I counted all these things a loss because Jesus was bigger. More important. My past, irrelevant. A humorous look at it. We have a new scripture. Baby boomer 5367. Baby boomer is me. 53 is the year of my birth. And 67 is my age. That's where all that comes from. So I've reworded that verse for me. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised in the hospital. Of the people of America. Of the tribe of Garcia, a Spaniard of Spaniards, as to law, a U.S. citizen, as to zeal, an early riser, which is true, I'm an early riser, as to righteousness, under the law, an athlete.
There you go.
I run every morning. I exercise. I. That's kind of a picture of me.
I saw you in your neon yellow this week. I figured I shouldn't honk. It'd probably like freak you out.
Everybody honks at me on the road. I could have been in my orange, and it would have been, you know. But yeah, there are people that if I don't run, or if I run at a different time, say, I didn't see you on the road today. Strangers. They'll talk to me in Albertsons.
Oh,
or I go to.
I like that.
They. I'm a regular piece every day in the morning. And so when I retired, I didn't have to run at the same time, so my times vary. But it's still me, but it's not me, because it's not who Jesus has made me. That's just the baggage I have with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of new additions. We have a lot of new additions. Our story is changing.
There you go.
A book has an end. Mm. Our book doesn't.
There you go. I like that.
Our book doesn't. So, oh yeah, that's me. That's me. I was very cute. My mom told me, so I know she wouldn't lie.
Right.
mom said it.
Yeah. I used to tell my students that I'm very handsome, because
what?
Said, my wife told me she wouldn't lie.
And she would not lie.
And they just kind of laughed and went along with it. But that's me. That's in my grandmother's house, because until I was four, we lived with my grandmother. Then we bought the house that I was raised in, and I discovered amazing things about my parents when my dad and mom died. They bought the house in 57. They paid it off in 59.
Wow.
That was amazing. But that's part of, even though they didn't tell me, that's part of what they were putting in me,
yeah.
Even though I didn't know it was there.
How about that?
Yeah.
Efficiency, when I look back,
yeah.
They were amazing. But I didn't think of them as amazing because I was a member of the family.
Sure.
And I don't have an amazing family.
Right.
I complained it like any other kid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but it says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that picture is there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was fearfully and wonderfully made even before I knew I was fearfully and wonderfully. What I know does not change reality.
Right.
What I think I know does not change what God says.
Yes.
Right.
My experience doesn't change what God
says. That's it right there.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made no matter what.
Yeah.
I can screw up my life and I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. I have nothing to do with that.
Ah.
That was not part of my choice. None of us have a lot of the choices that we think we have. We aren't in as much control as we think we are sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful are your works. I'm wonderful. You're wonderful. Isn't that a cool part of your story? Think about this verse, and we all have this verse as a story. How it looks may be different. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book they were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there weren't any of them.
Wow.
There is a plan here, and part of it is that you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
There you go.
We tend to look in the mirror and say, "Ew." We spend hours in front of mirrors.
Right.
Even the guys do. I mean, I used to tease the guys in high school.
Okay.
You got it. They would harass the girls because they were looking in the mirrors all the time, and they were doing their makeup. I said, "But you guys go by the windows, and you always look." And you suck in your guts, and you pull up your pants,
what?
And you fix your hair,
what?
And you use the windows like a mirror. It says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we do pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we shortchange ourselves because we're always comparing ourselves to something that we don't achieve.
That's true.
What we have to understand is that God is bringing us into a position of greatness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's making us greater and greater. As we conform to his image,
yeah.
We become greater and greater. Thus, our story becomes greater and greater.
Right.
And it changes. What I tell you today, if I were to do this in 2 weeks, I might tell it different. Because I could pick out different parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And use those things to show your story.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the whole story. This is just a little list. Ah, there we go.
Oh, my goodness.
That is Cedar Avenue Baptist Church, where I got saved. And
amazing.
It doesn't exist anymore.
The building, too?
The church building, nothing. It doesn't exist.
Where is this?
This was in San Bruno, which is a community right next to Millbrae. But in my life, I got saved when I was 18. But the first time I entered that church was to watch a Christian magician doing illusions when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
I was invited by a friend of mine, Bart, in elementary school, who's a fifth grader, a year younger than me. He says, you want to see a magician? I said, sure. I said, and so I asked my parents, and I was surprised that they said yes. But they said yes, and I went off to this church. And I sat down, and it was in pews, and it was all red, and had red carpets. And I looked at hymnals. I had never seen a hymnal before. Even though I'd been to Catholic churches, I hadn't paid attention. And they had Bibles, and I saw my first Bible when I was 11 years old. And so, but I was impressed by this. When I turned 17, I was invited to this church again. And I walked in the doors, I said, I've been here before. I said, God has been in my life a long time.
How about that?
God is in my, he's been in all of our lives.
Right.
Sometimes we don't pay attention.
Right.
We don't look, so I've been looking back to see, you know, what did God do? And I'm seeing things that he was doing to me.
Yeah.
So I said, this is not exactly a pool, because the verse I'm coming to is going to be about water. But this is not, but Jesus watered me here. And we have all been watered somewhere and not necessarily gotten wet. Oh, I got baptized in this church too.
Say that again.
Says we all we're all going to get water, but we don't always get wet.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of water.
Right.
That's a good word right there.
So John 5:5-6. It says, now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. I think in the King James it says porticos.
Porches,
same thing. In these lay the multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, and he said to him, "You want to be healed?" Now, the first time I read this, I thought, well, of course he wants to get healed. But he's been there 38 years. Somebody had to bring him there. Somebody had to be there with him to take him back. So why wasn't he healed? All he had to do was get into the water. So my first thoughts were, does he really want to get healed, or will that bust his business? Because, you know, asking for alms was a big deal. You could make a living off alms, and it was a respectable living. So did he want to get healed or not?
I've never thought
about that. That was one of my first thoughts the first time I ever read this. I said, why would he be there for 38 years? Because it says he couldn't walk on his own, so he had to have somebody get him there. So I thought, why didn't he just say, when the water moves, throw me in. Park me right by it so I can just roll in. But he's 38 years, and Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And, you know, that's where I got saved. But did I want to get saved?
Oh, that's a...
Did I want to? I said I did, and I lied. I didn't. But my youth pastor said, are you saved? I lied. Yes. And they got tired of getting asked. Then one night, I woke up in a cold sweat because God said, do you want to get saved?
Wow.
So I knelt by my bed and I said, yeah. And then the battle started. I would have dreams where Satan would be there and he'd be harassing me. In situations where I was in church, I had a car. One of the few people in the youth group that had a car, and it was a big car. I remember my red Chevy. And so I would load all these kids in, and you didn't have seatbelts in those days, so I could put in as many people as I could. I had people sitting, lying down, and I'd drive. And a lot of my dreams took place in my car.
Wow.
And I would have this hideous looking thing in the back, and I would see it in my rearview mirror, and it would be laughing at me with like an evil laugh that you get in the movies.
How old are you?
At
that time, how old were you at that time?
18.
18.
So, those are things that were, and when I decided to go to become part of the choir, I mean, I got said I'm going to be in the singing group, and I'm going to travel and do singing. And then when I chose to go to Biola University, I said the dreams really got nasty. They got really harsh. And there were things I did that were stupid because I said, maybe I don't want to be so good. And so I did some stupid things. But in the end, I end up coming and stopped doing stupid things. I did some new stupid things, but they were not, they were different kinds of stupid. They weren't an evil kind of a stupid or a sinful kind of, but they were still a stupid kind of a thing. They're, anyway, I didn't have to repent of those things exactly, but I think I still have to clean up my act a little bit. But, you know, where have you, maybe what are you doing that you shouldn't do? You know, do you want to be a Christian, really? How much do people know? I had a young girl in my Sunday school class at Crossroads, and she was just getting out of high school, and she was going to go into, or out of junior high into high school. And I had just done some lessons on praying. And so one day she walks into my room at the beginning of a class. The bell had rung. My classroom is there. She comes in and says, I'm going to geometry. That's what it was. And she says, I need prayer. I said, okay. I mean, she's in front of my room. She comes in during pass, and she's, I need prayer. So I put my hands on her, and I prayed in front of everybody.
Wow.
And then she went off. And I was kind of, I had to do that because I don't think I would have thought about it except for I had been teaching on it. I said, we need to learn how to do what God wants us to do wherever he wants us to do it.
Right.
And I think there was my challenge right there in front of my student.
Yeah.
So I prayed. I didn't get fired. Nobody reported me. Nobody was offended by it. Today, Maybe. But that, you know, that was just a few years. But, you know, what do you want to be?
Right.
What God wants you to be? That's part of your story.
Yeah.
The choices you make are part of your story. If it's not coming out the way you want it to be, maybe you don't understand what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
What does God want it to be? It's not what you want it to be. It's what He wants it to be. And then we need to learn how to want what He wants. Here we go. On December 25th, that chair will be 67 years old.
Wow.
Is that in your house?
That's in my house.
Yep.
That is the first Christmas present I ever got.
Wow.
My children used it. My grandchildren have used that chair.
Is it a little chair, a baby chair?
Yeah, it's a little rocker.
Oh. Okay.
I guess the little guy would love that chair. It's his size.
Yeah. Yeah. Just look at the door in the back.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I see.
And the tape on it is, it's covering broken spots. But it's still basically in one piece. I used to have a great big teddy bear that would fit perfectly on that thing. It was a velour kind of with blue, and the ends of his arms are gold. And it's, I love that bear. I loved it so much it died. And it was not able to be resurrected. But this is part of how I grew up too. And I'm going to use it as, I'm sitting in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
I love rocking chairs. And I think that chair has something to do with it. Because I've always liked rocking chairs. Always. I don't have any at home right now other than that little green one. But a well-known verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. My story is very unusual. When we used to visit my mom, what did she say all the time? I'm not a religious person. Because she knew I was a Christian. All the time. All the time. But when I was raised, we had basically a Christian Christmas. I knew about Jesus. We sang the Christian songs.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would love watching TV shows. She'd order the music for the shows so we could sing along with them. And they were singing the hymns. Silent Night.
Right.
You know, okay. I mean, it was right. Amazing. It doesn't do that anymore. But back when I was growing up, that's what I sang for Christmas.
Right.
My parents were not religious. My dad really hated church.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, we had Jesus at home for Christmas. And when we had Easter, I knew that Jesus died. I knew the stories because they were part of how I grew up, even though I didn't live in the Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, God's plan was that He was going to give me Jesus, whether my parents liked it or not. But they loved the songs, and they loved the season. So we had Christmas trees, and we had presents, and we had Jesus. Although we didn't, not like you might have Jesus, but I had Jesus. And that was part of His plan. Your plan includes Jesus. Right. Your story needs to include Jesus. However it comes in, even if you had a really bad, somehow Jesus is going to be in your family and make you what you are. You can't ignore those things.
Right.
I look back and I don't think of the things that were difficult. I always think of good stuff. I think of Christmas and I'm crawling down the hallway to try to be really quiet so I can see what I got. I'll be up like 6 o'clock in the morning. And there was one spot in the hallway that creaked because we had a hardwood floor. And I knew how to crawl around that spot so I didn't make any noise to wake up my parents. I could go out there and take a look and see everything. I wouldn't open anything, but I would just look. Then I'd go back to bed and wait for my dad to say it's okay to get up. Because they didn't get up especially early on that day. Although, anyway, so the plan is there.
Right.
We need to understand that our story has a plan. It has an outline already made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good author outlines
mm-hmm.
and writes and plans. God has a plan.
Right.
We need to understand the plan. But you can't understand the plan unless you talk to the author.
Mm.
Ah, it went too fast. Nope.
That was a pretty picture.
It is.
Ooh, this is your...
Oh, this is, yeah. I went back one too far. Here we go. Here it is.
Oh,
that is my fountain. My
oh, that's your backyard.
That's my backyard. That's just a small piece. I've redone the inside of that. So I put a new pump in and I put new rocks in, and that's, anyway, there's really cool stuff around there. It's taken me 2 years to rebuild it. It's huge. When we asked our landscaper to put that in, we asked for something that we thought was small, and he looked at it and he said, your yard's too, I don't like it. And he just kept making it bigger and bigger. And so now I've fixed it up even more because I liked some other things. But he invented this, and I reinvented and created, and now it looks, when I trim that stuff in the back, mm-hmm. it smells really good for several days.
Right.
So I got two different kinds of rosemary back there. And there's also Texas sage in the front, although you can't see it, but when it blossoms, you can see all this red kind of a purple in the front, and then there's the blue of the rosemary that gets behind it. And there's bees all over the place, but they like me. They just let me do my things.
Yes.
And the wasps and stuff, they just think I'm part of the fountain.
Yes.
And it sounds really pretty.
Oh my goodness.
But that's a big deal. And I take care of all the backyard. I have everything landscaped, but I don't hire anybody to take care of it. I do it myself. So my front yard, my backyard was done by the same people, but they don't do the the upkeep. But I didn't want them to do that. That's what I like to do.
Right.
Because it didn't dawn on me until I was working on this thing a little bit. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Part of my training as a kid by non-Christian parents was to take care of my property.
Right.
My dad had real strict rules on how I cut the lawn, how I trimmed the lawn.
Sure.
I mean, I trimmed the edge by hand.
Oh, wow.
I took out the weeds one at a time by hand. I even had the tool I used at home, because when my dad died, I got it. It was a putty knife, but now it doesn't look like a putty knife. Now it's all worn down to where it's just got a little nub on it. But that's what I used to get the weeds out. But even though I argued and didn't like gardening at the time, I really do like the gardening, and I'm really excited about it when I get out there to do it. Even raking the dirt, waking up to leaves. I just like being out in the garden, right? Mm-hmm. My son Nathan just couldn't understand why I worked so hard on weekends. Partly it's because I worked hard during the week in school, so I could only save it all for the weekend.
Right
now, I still work hard.
Yeah.
He says, when my dad goes to relax, he works. On his days off, he works. But I have fun.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable to me, but it's part of the training.
Right.
And whether you're Christians or not, you train a child in how he's going to go.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't say Christian training and
right,
he will not depart.
Right.
It just says you're going to train him and he's going to not depart from whatever you put in him.
Right.
Okay. So the content is very important.
Yes.
The content is important because whatever parents do is trained into the child. And training is, unfortunately, it's a word used for training animals. You really make sure they understand. You don't let them slide.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't reward them for making a mistake.
Right.
So the training is rigorous, and I learned how to do it. I do think the gardeners that come around our house when I'm out there working, they'll say, why are you doing that? I said, because of blah, blah, blah. I says, but that's not supposed to work. I said, oh yeah, it does. I says, you see anything dead here? Well, no. are the, if it's dead, it's because it was the wrong plant to put in. or something. So I'm replanting some spots that the plants didn't work well, but I've learned how to do things, so sometimes I'm educating the gardeners around that think they know everything. Because I do things at the wrong times according to them, but my garden has lovely trees and flowers that bloom at the right times, and sometimes excessive. Train up a child in the way you should go. What are you putting in? That's part of your story. What did your parents put in? Right. You know, when somebody needs help, you can talk about how you got trained.
Right.
You have experience in receiving and giving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Part of the story. Oh, yeah. Hats. There are approximately 20 hats that are in that picture. And that's not the whole collection. I use them all. I love hats. The one in the middle is camouflage. That's my hunting hat. I shot my deer with that particular hat on. That was one that David bought for me in Virginia. We went on bow hunting. Bow hunting is fun. It's really fun. Anyway, so those are different things. Like the USC hat is when Kathy was at USC. So I bought a hat. It was another excuse to get a hat.
There you go.
But my students, I did a lot of hats in my classes. And my students always said, "You don't like hats, Mr. Garcia?" I said, "Well, I do like hats." I said, "No, you don't." I said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Starting next week, I will wear a hat every day of the week, and it'll be a different hat every day of the week for a whole semester." And they did. A semester is 90 days.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh. So your life is, your hats are kind of like the story of your life.
Yeah, they are. I don't know if I still have it. I have the first hat that I bought for this particular portion of my life. And I have recent hats. I only have about 35, 40 hats. Now I got rid of a lot of them when I graduated from high school. I retired. They finally let me go. But I kept a lot of them because I like hats. And I wear hats all the time. There are three hats that I sit out in the entryway to our house because I have three different colors. That way if I get out, I can wear different colored hats. Most of the time I try to match the hat to what I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. Color coordination is very important, even in the casual attire. I have my Steamboat Willie hat. That's one of my recent additions. Which is really cool. I like Steamboat Willie. It's an 8-minute long cartoon. Yeah. But anyway, that's part of what I do. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. That's kind of what I did in my classroom. I like hats, but I don't wear them inside. So they have to learn to not wear it. It was teaching people to do what you expect to be done.
Yes.
But nobody's teaching that. Mm-hmm. But in your story, you have something you can share somewhere along the line. Your story may be two sentences long one day, but that two sentences may be amazing for that student or that co-worker or that checkout person at the at the store. Or, you know, it's your story goes everywhere,
right?
You carry all the different chapters inside. I forgot one thing. This is part of my story. I should have brought this up when I was doing Cedar Avenue Baptist Church, but I'm gonna do it anyway. This is my first Bible ever. It was given to me June 19th, 1971. So it's almost 50 years old. What? And the one thing that I would do is that I learned that it was okay to underline God's word. So, and God was talking to me, even though I didn't realize he was talking as such, because Baptist churches don't teach that exactly. But he was, and a lot of what I, you know, in Psalms, I really liked, you know, the Psalms. It's like David seemed to have a handle on how people live. And I wasn't sure who David was at the time. I learned who he was. But one of my verses on it. It says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed. For I put my spirit, or for I trust. I got a part of the line is through it. For I put my trust in thee.
Come on.
In you. Mm. You know, keep my soul.
That was the big one. Which version is that?
This is King James. And so, but I was kind of messy in my underlining. It says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that gets in the way, I think, of mm-hmm. of Christians is, what are people going to think?
Right.
What are people going to think?
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter?
Right. Good word.
Mm-hmm. What does it matter? It says, for I put my trust in thee. If your trust is in him, why does it matter? It took me a long time to get to where I don't care. Yeah. And so, but, and the amazing part of this is that they gave this to me after I graduated. This was my graduation gift from the youth group. My parents let me invite them to my graduation party. It was a family party.
Wow.
And the whole group came. Aww. All of these non-Spanish speaking people came to my house and sat there while everybody in my family was kissing me and hugging and giving me presents and stuff. And they didn't know what was happening exactly, but my family saw, these are the people that are part of my life.
Yeah.
And they all had one thing in common, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Part of my life.
Wow, that's
so big. So, here we go. Part of my life, Jesus. This is part of your story. You have the three wise men. Well, actually, there weren't three. There were three presents, but there weren't three wise men. There's Joseph and Mary, and then there is this. You have to deal with that, because without that, it's all a waste. Your story has to include death.
Yes.
It has to. The whole story is not beautiful from a human perspective.
Right.
But from a godly perspective, it's wonderful.
Amen.
You know, your life is a, you know, in Ephesians it says you're a masterpiece. You're fearfully, actually the word is the word we get for poem.
Mm-hmm.
You're a poem.
That's beautiful.
Your art. Mm-hmm. You're a masterpiece.
Wow.
And this makes a masterpiece. One of my favorite albums to listen to, I listen to it often when I'm sitting in the hot tub, is called The Painter, John Michael Talbot. And in his thing, the painter is that he's building a masterpiece. We are it. We are the canvas. The Holy Spirit is the brush, and he's painting.
That's so good.
So he's making a masterpiece.
Wow.
It says, and this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has a son has life. Mm-hmm. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Real simple. And it's hard to say. My mom said, you mean if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to go to hell? Yeah. She was not pleased with that answer, but what could I say exactly? Being who I was kind of, it's going to be kind of blunt. This is it. She got the message, though. She said, if I don't, I'm going to? I said, yeah. If you don't believe, you will. It's that simple. We overcomplicate it.
So did she?
She didn't. As far as I know, she did not. My father did not. My sister, I think, did, but I don't know if she remembers. But I made the presentation. They got mad at me. They said I couldn't go to church for a month. But the church youth group was praying for me for that month, and at the end of the month, out of nowhere, my dad says, okay, you can go. I didn't even ask. Because when my dad makes up his mind, you just don't ask him. I grew up knowing that if he says something, you don't talk. You just wait. But he surprised me. He said, you can go. So that's the story of my life. What's the story of your life? You know, where did you start? Where are you now? What is God writing into your new chapters?
Come on.
It's not over. I won't leave the. I won't talk about the fat lady singing, but it's.
Right.
It's not over.
That's so good.
Even if you die, it's not over.
That's right.
Mm. If you die, it's not over. It just keeps going on in volume two. The on earth volume and then the not on earth volume.
Right. Good work.
You know? There's a new way of looking at things. So, my traditional ending.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, that's the story of my life.
Thank you.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Jesus, we're just thankful that you provided us with a story.
Thanks.
You provided us with a life. We just need to give up our lives and repent. Mm-hmm. And you rebuild us. Help us to realize what you've really done, what you're really doing, so that we can leave today and understand that we are a living story. Somewhere in the word it says we are living epistles, living letters. We're written. We're poems. Some people don't like poetry. Maybe that's why they don't like us so much. But we need to be that poem out there.
Come on.
Tell our story.
Yes.
You're giving us a good story. It's worth telling. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.